Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
I said last week, I grew up in Southern California, and we primarily played two games growing up in Southern California. We played Marco Polo and we played tag. That was it. I had a swimming pool in my backyard. So the big games that we played were Marco Polo. We were either in the pool or we were playing tag. And I mentioned last week, did I already tell you I forgive you if you weren't here last week?
Yes.
Okay, I do forgive you. I mentioned last week that we had a very systematic and a very precise formula for how we would figure out who was it when we played tag. And it went something like this. 1, 2, 3.
Not it.
Not it. That's how you do it when you play tag. 1, 2, 3, not it. And then the last person that says not it is it, right? Isn't that how it works? So if you were slow on the trigger with that, then you were it. Well, I turned it around a little bit last week. And the fact of the matter is, God's word says you are it. You are it. You are it. You are the person that God is looking for, and you are the person that God is looking at to make a difference in the world. And so God needs tough people. He needs tough people because the world is a tough place to live. So, you are it. So, 1, 2, 3. That's much better. So, you can't opt out of it. You can't opt out of being tough. You can't say not it. You can't say not it to God's word. We talked about that last week. And so, I want to just do a quick review of what it was that we talked about. And I'm not going to take a lot of time to describe the story in the book of Esther, but I would encourage you, if you're not familiar with that story, to read that story, because it is a remarkable story about God and His sovereignty and how God works through people. Here's this young lady, Esther, who goes from servant or slave girl to queen of Persia, and probably wanted to, as a slave in Persia, fly under the radar. As much as she could, probably just fly under the radar and don't mess with me and I won't mess with you kind of a life, and just let me fly and slip under the radar. And I think sometimes in our lives we have that mindset. We just want to kind of slip and slide and fly under the radar because we don't want to rock anybody's boats and we don't want anybody to rock our boat. But the fact of the matter is, God wants tough people. And we looked at a few things last week from the book of Esther, and I'm going to just do a quick review and then we're just going to dive into part two. Let me say this right before we do this review. When you read the Word and when you study the Word, it's very important that you do it investigatively and inquisitively. When you look at the Word, you need to look at it investigatively. In other words, we need to try to discover what is the relevance for what we're reading from a story thousands of years ago. What is applicable to my life today? How can I take a 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000-year-old story and make it relevant in my life today? The way that you do that is by investigating the text and pouring into it inquisitively, asking questions of the text and challenging yourself with some of the things. And so we're going to do that as we go through this tonight. I started out last week by saying this, and we called it a timely truth, and part two of our message tonight is going to be all about timely truth. But started out with this statement last week, and here's the statement, and it's on your outline under review. Timely truth: it is purpose that brings meaning to life and not meaning that brings purpose. If we get that backwards, we're going to struggle. So I want you to just think about that for a minute. It's purpose that brings meaning to life and not meaning that brings purpose. So many people are looking for meaning, and they're looking for meaning, and I want to have meaning in my life. Find purpose, you'll find meaning. If you find the purpose for which God has created you and what God has called you to do, meaning will fall right into place. But if you're out there looking for meaning and looking for meaning and looking for meaning, it doesn't work. The story of Esther, the book of Esther, is all about the purposes of God. That's what it's about. It's about the purposes of God being revealed in the Scripture, and as a result of that, Esther's life had meaning. Mordecai's life had meaning because they discovered the purpose of God. So, quickly, we discovered four things in our opening message last week about tough people. And I just want to go through them very quickly. We see this in the life of Esther, and we see this in the life of Mordecai. Remember, the book of Esther is a book that is written when the Jewish people are captives in Persia. They'd come out of Babylonian captivity, and now they're in Persian captivity, and it's less pressure than the Babylonians, but it's still bondage. They're living in bondage. And so they want to fly under the radar screen, because you don't want to get the people that you're in bondage to upset with you. But yet God has a plan, and the plan is all about getting them right out in the forefront of what he wants to do. And so one of the things that we discovered last week that's critically important for tough people, say, I'm tough. Say, I'm it. It's critically important for tough people to have intuition. And it's on your outline. Intuition is this: the ability to sense God when you can't see him. That's intuition. Mordecai had the intuition to say to Esther, get in the beauty pageant. Queen Vashti was rebellious. The king threw a party. She didn't want to show up. So the king said, get her out of here. I want a new queen. We're going to have a party, and I'm going to choose a queen. Mordecai said, get in the running. So she goes from this servant girl to queen of Persia. But there was an intuition in Mordecai, and there was an intuition in Esther that prompted them to do what God had put in their hearts to do. If you're going to be a tough person, you've got to trust your intuition. And I'm not talking about your flesh. I'm talking about the intuition that comes in your knower when God is on the throne of your heart. That's what I'm talking about. So we talked about the importance of intuition, and then we went from intuition to number two, the willingness to say yes to God when you don't know what that requires is responsiveness. So Mordecai and Esther had this intuition that God wanted to use them in a certain way to do something about his will, but they had to follow that intuition up with responsiveness. If you have an intuition from God to do something and you don't respond, it is a waste of time. It's a waste of time. If God prompts you to do something and you don't respond and I don't respond, what good is it going to do? What good would it have done for Esther and Mordecai to have the intuition that I think God wants us to be involved in something here, but they didn't take the second step, which was to respond? Tough people respond. Tough people respond when they don't have it all figured out. Esther and Mordecai didn't have it all figured out, but yet they were willing to respond. I saw a bumper sticker today, and I pulled up next to this car when I went for a workout this afternoon at lunchtime, and in the back window of the car, it said, boycott Israel. And I thought, that's just ignorant. That is just ignorant. This story that we are studying in the book of Esther is all about Haman boycotting Israel to the point where he said, I'm going to kill them all. I'm going to have them all killed. I'm going to wipe them all out. Boycott Israel. Listen, when you boycott Israel, you're boycotting God, and you're going to have problems. You're going to have problems. And so God, in his amazing way of doing things, seeks out the cooperation of his people. And you got to be tough if you're going to be used by God. So you move from intuition to responsiveness to number three, the willingness to take risks and to be exposed to uncertainty, which is vulnerability. And we talked about the importance of vulnerability. Esther put herself out there. She had to make herself vulnerable. She did not want to sleep with an ungodly king. That's what being the queen of Persia was going to mean. She was going to have to marry an ungodly man. So we know where that's going to lead. She grew up knowing everything but that. But yet she made herself vulnerable to what? The will of God. We've got to be willing. Toughness requires vulnerability. And that is, I talked to you last week about the challenge that is for me. I am not good at being vulnerable. And God's working on my heart in that area. But if we are going to be tough in the eyes of God, we've got to sense that intuition and move quickly when God speaks through responsiveness. And then there's got to be a vulnerability that says, if God doesn't work in and through me, it's not going to happen. And then number four, we said this, that willingness to persevere in the midst of a great challenge is endurance. So if you're going to be tough, say, I'm tough.
I'm tough.
If you're going to be tough, now I'm not talking about being a bully. I'm talking about being tough in the eyes of God. If you're going to be tough, you're going to have endurance, because there's going to be times it looks like you're losing. And there's going to be times you feel like you're losing, and there's going to be times you feel like, could it get any worse? Could it get any more difficult? And the fact of the matter is, God has you right where he wants you to be because he's doing a couple of things. He's toughening you up so that he can work his will in that situation. Because as we said, it's purpose that brings meaning to life and not meaning that brings purpose. So you're all caught up. Say thank you. You're welcome. So here we go. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to start there and we're going to dive in. We have plenty of time. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and he chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance, I love words like this, advance. God decided in advance, now I got to look down and find my place, to adopt us into his very own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He is so rich in kindness and grace. These words, and I said this at the very beginning of the message, we have to look at the word investigatively. Think about these words that God is saying. Rich in kindness. Rich in kindness. God is rich. Think about kindness. Think about when people are kind to you and what that does for you. And the Bible says God is rich in kindness and grace. And he purchased your freedom with the blood of his son and he forgave our sins. He has showered us with his kindness along with all wisdom and understanding. Investigatively look at those words. What does that mean? That's good stuff. God has now revealed it to us through his mysterious plan by regarding Christ a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. And this is the plan. Now I want you to circle these next four words. At the right time. Circle those four words. We're going to talk about that here in just a minute. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ. Everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance. Now, these words are boldened on your outline. In advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. God makes everything work out according to his plan. When you read the book of Esther, that's what it's about. It's all about God working out his purpose in your life according to his plan. If we can hold on to that with confidence, knowing that God's going to work things out according to his purpose in our lives, it will help us. It will help us when times get difficult. So here's what I'm thinking when it comes to Esther and Mordecai. Living this life of great, great difficulty. They would have never signed up for it. They would have never signed up to have to be on the front lines, having to do what God had called him to do. You may feel like that sometime. You may feel like, God, why do I have to be doing this right now? Why do I have to be this person? Why do I have to be the person that feels like they're getting all the shots? Why? According to Ephesians, God has already planned everything in advance, so he'll make everything work out according to his plan. We've got to trust that. Somewhere in our lives, we've got to trust that. So what I want us to do as we close this out tonight is I want us to discover some timely truths from the book of Esther that, again, I think will help us today. Modern day living, timely truths, investigating the life of Esther. I heard a song today and I wrote this down on my outline. It's not on yours. And there was a line in this song and I thought the book of Esther screams this line. You were meant for more than this. I want you to think about what Esther thought as a slave in Persia. I have nothing in life. I have nothing in life. I'll never go anywhere. I'll never become anything. Hopefully, I won't be killed in slavery. But what is life going to afford me? Absolutely nothing. And the book of Esther screams to us, you were meant for more than this. The enemy has a plan against your life to destroy your life, but you were made for more than this. You were meant for more than this. That's what the book of Esther screams about. And that's what your life screams about. Your life screams that you were meant for more than this. So if you find yourself in a difficult situation right now, you were meant for more than this. Now, I was thinking about this Just a minute. Not quite yet, Nick. I'll have you bring that picture up. But I was thinking about this. When I signed up to go into the Marine Corps right out of high school, I wanted to go in the Marine Corps. And one of the reasons that I wanted to go into the Marine Corps was because I felt like it was the toughest branch. And I wanted to be tough. I wouldn't have said I wanted to be a bully, but I did not want people taking advantage of me, because that had happened my whole life. So I thought, I'm going to sign up for the toughest branch that I can, which I thought at the time was the Marine Corps. Still think that, by the way. And I went into the Marine Corps, and I'm telling you, they made me tough. They made me tough, but they didn't make me tough in the ways that we need to be tough if we're going to make it in a spiritual world. There is toughness. There is two kinds of toughness. And the toughness that I want to talk about tonight is a toughness that we can learn by applying God's principles. I went back and I found one of my books from boot camp. You got that one of those pictures up there, Nick? And I remember when we were in boot camp, I know that looks old because it is old. It's 1979. So 1979, I go in boot camp and they want to make us tough. And one of the first ways they want to make you tough is they want you to be good at hand-to-hand combat. They want to teach you hand-to-hand combat. So not if you need it, but when you need it, you're going to know what you need to do. So they start out with these pugil sticks, and you just try to knock each other's heads off with these sticks. And more than that, I think the drill instructors like it, because that's the guy in the green there. They like it because they've done it for so many years, they're going to knock your head off every time they pick one of those up, and they like it. Let's see that next one. So, you know, the Marines, we get in here and we do this kind of stuff. And then the next picture, you can see where, and then all of a sudden you get up on the bridge with the drill instructors and you can see the recruit is laying parallel to the water. You see him there? He got knocked off the bridge. Now, I'm telling you, when I got out of boot camp, I was tough. But I wasn't the kind of tough that I needed to be what God wanted me to be. I wasn't the kind of tough that was going to help me with purpose in my life. And I think in the book of Esther, we can find some amazing things. And I just have five of them that I want to give you quickly that I call timeless truths. The reason I call them timeless truths is because you can pull them out of a Bible that's 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years old, and you can apply these principles to your life today. Here's what I see in the book of Esther. And let me just say this, and then I'll give you the first point. I see this in the life of Esther, I see it in the life of Mordecai, I see it in my own life, and I often see it in other people's lives, and it's this. The great things of God are often preceded by the mundane things of life. The great things of God are often preceded by the mundane things in life. We're just going through life, and we're going through the mundane things of life. Esther got up one day, and she's a slave girl. She gets up the next day, and she's in a beauty pageant. She gets up the next day and she's in the palace with 1 year of spa treatments. 1 year of spa treatments later, she is the queen of Persia. So in 1 year, she goes from this mundane life as a slave to now all of a sudden she's the queen of Persia. But there's something about that mundane part of life that toughens us up in a God way. It toughens us up in a God way, and it gets us ready so that Ephesians chapter 1 can be fulfilled, that he makes everything work out according to his plan. So point number one then, timely truth. Number one, make right choices in difficult situations. We have got to toughen up in this area. We've got to make right choices in difficult situations. This whole book is about that. This whole book is about Mordecai and Esther making tough choices in difficult situations. Listen to Esther chapter 2, verses 19 through 23. Meanwhile, Mordecai, and again, I'm fast-forwarding through the story, so I'm hoping that you're part of the way caught up with me. They have gone from being slaves to now they're in the forefront. Mordecai and Esther are in the forefront of everything that's happening. No more flying under the radar. Mordecai had been appointed by the king to an administrative position. As for Esther, she had still not let anyone know that she was a Jew. Mordecai had told her not to tell anyone, and she obeyed him. She obeyed him in this, just as she obeyed him when she was a little girl under his care. During that time, Mordecai held an office in the palace. Bigthana, I tell you, I'm going to have a listen. I think with these Bible names, can we just make them one syllable, two syllable? And Teresh, They probably say the same thing. Never mind. I'm just going to move right on here. I'm going to get myself in trouble here. Two of the palace eunuchs who guarded the entrance of the king's rooms became hostile toward King Xerxes, and they plotted to assassinate him. Mordecai learned about it, and he told the queen. Esther, who then told the king that what Mordecai had found out, so there was an investigation, and it was discovered that the report was true. So both of those men were hanged on the gallows. The king ordered an account of this to be written down in the official records of the empire. Will you underline that, please? Underline that last sentence. The king ordered an account of this to be written down in the official records of the empire. I said point number one, if you're going to be a tough person, if you're going to be tough and you're going to fulfill the purpose that God has in your life, then you've got to make right choices. See, this right choice that Mordecai makes right now is money in the bank later. It's going to pay dividends for him later because God is going to wake up the king in a dream because the king is troubled and he can't sleep, and God's going to wake him up and he's going to remind him of this incident right here. So I had you underline this. The king ordered an account of this to be written down in the official records of the empire. I had you write it down for this. When you walk out the mundane things of God, when you walk out and you do the right things consistently in your life and you make right choices, you can mark this down. It is being recorded in the books of heaven. When you make right choices and nobody else sees them, and not only maybe nobody else sees them, it could cost you. I mean, here, again, Mordecai can't fly under the radar. He says, okay, somebody wants to assassinate the king. Why would he even say anything? The king of Persia is an evil king. He's got the Jews in slavery, and somebody wants to assassinate this king, and Mordecai does what? He does the right thing. And God is going to honor him later on. Sometimes the toughness that you're walking through right now requires that you do the right things so that God can promote you in the future. Think about that. Think about walking through the right things right now with no rhyme or reason why you have to do it, and it's so challenging, and you wonder if it'll ever make sense, but in the wisdom of God, he knows that it's going to pay off in the long run. I wrote this on my outline. It's not on yours, but I wrote it on mine. Don't be oblivious to the calendar that destiny keeps for you. Don't be oblivious to the calendar that destiny keeps for you. There's a destiny for you. Just like that song says, and the book of Esther screams, you were meant for more than this. You were meant for more than this. You were meant for whatever it is that God wants to accomplish according to his plan. So make right choices. Make right choices in doing the things that God wants you to do. Here's what I found in looking at the book of Esther. Sometimes, and hear me when I say this, sometimes the gap between surrender and fight is so closely linked together, you can't see the difference. Here's what I mean by that. There are times that you have to surrender to the will of God. So you surrender to the will of God, and the moment you surrender to the will of God, you're up in a fight the next moment. You're in a fight with the enemy. And here's what happened to Esther and Mordecai. They surrendered to the will of God. They made the right choice. They surrendered to the will of God, and as soon as they did that, they had bullseyes all over them. All of a sudden, Haman's got them on the radar screen, and Haman's going to want to wipe them all out. And so sometimes in our lives, the toughening up comes between surrender and then quickly responding by fighting immediately out of that. I was thinking about this. Don't ask me why I thought about this today. Maybe it was because I grew up in the 70s. So I turned 10 in 1970, so I turned 20 in 1979, or how you do the math, something like that. My influential years were in the 70s, and I remember at that time, and I loved boxing, and I remember at the time, they used to say of Muhammad Ali, the claim to fame to Muhammad, one of them was that Muhammad Ali could hit a speed bag 7 times in a second. And obviously the speed bag is coming back after you hit it the first time, but he could hit it 7 times in 1 second. And I thought, man, oh man, that's quick, that's lightning fast. And sometimes the things of God, the surrender and then the jumping back up and fighting has to be lightning fast, just like that. You say, God, I'll surrender to your will because it's purpose that I desire. Not meaning, but purpose that I desire. So I'll surrender to your will. And immediately when you do that, you jump up and your fists are locked and loaded. And you're ready for the fight. And that's what they had to do. And so part of the fight is make right choices. Are you doing that? Because if you're not, God's going to keep you there because he wants to toughen you up. So make right choices. Timely truth number two is this. Refuse to submit to the threats of the enemy. So here's what happens to Esther and Mordecai. They surrender to the will of God. They immediately stand up, surrender to the will of God, and what? They're in a fist fight. They're in a fist fight for their existence. When you stand up and you want to be tough in the eyes of God, and you want to follow his way, you want to follow his will, you want to follow his word, you are going to be in a fight. You're going to be in a fight. And the enemy's going to come after you, and he's going to try to destroy your life. And so we have to refuse to submit to the threats of the enemy. So here's what happens. This man named Haman gets promoted by King Xerxes in the kingdom. And let's just read. Let's just read this. Esther chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Sometime later, King Xerxes promoted Haman, the son of, there we go again with another several syllable word, the Agite over all the nobles, making him the most powerful official in the empire. All of the king's officials would bow down before Haman to show him respect whenever he passed by, for so the king had commanded. So I want you to think about what this looks like. You have to walk by somebody, and every time you walk by this person, you have to bow down. You know, when I was in the Marine Corps, every time I walked as an enlisted man by an officer, I had to salute that officer. And some of those officers had little man syndrome, and usually those were the second lieutenants, sometimes the first lieutenants. And boy, if you didn't snap to it and you didn't salute them the second, boy, they were going to be down your throat. And so that's what this was like. Every time a Jew walked by Haman, they had to stop what they were doing. They had to bow down. And Mordecai said, you know what? I'm not doing that. I am not going to submit to the threats of my enemy. That's what's required. If you're going to be tough, tough people are needed. To fulfill the purposes of God in the economy of God today, people need to be tough. And one of the ways that we're tough is to refuse to bow down to the enemy. So the king commanded this, but Mordecai refused to bow down or show him respect. Then the palace officials at the king's gate asked Mordecai, why are you disobeying the king's command? They spoke to him day after day, but he still refused to comply with the order. So they spoke to Haman about this to see if he would tolerate Mordecai's conduct, since Mordecai had told them he was a Jew. When Haman saw that Mordecai would not bow down and show him respect, he was filled with rage. You can count on this. When you don't bow down to the enemy's plans for your life, there's going to be an attack against your life. When you stand up and say, no, I'm going to walk in a way of holiness or purity, or I'm going to do what God has called me to do, the fires get turned up. And that's exactly what happened here with Mordecai. That's what happens with Esther. When Haman saw that Mordecai would not bow down, he was filled with rage. He had learned Mordecai's nationality, so he decided it was not enough to lay hands on Mordecai alone. Instead, he looked for a way to destroy all the Jews throughout the empire of Xerxes. So here's Mordecai and here's Esther, and they're talking back and forth, and Mordecai and Esther say, you know what? We're not going to submit to the threats of the enemy. And because they refused to submit to the threats of the enemy, we're able to see what God was able to do through the life of Esther and the life of Mordecai. There's so much yet to be written about your life. There's so much yet to be written about my life. But if I'm not tough, and I'm not talking about pugil stick tough, and I'm not talking about duking it out in the natural tough, I'm talking about spiritually tough. You can't tell by looking at somebody if they're spiritually tough. The only time you know if people are spiritually tough is when they get in the fight. And then when you get in the fight, you find out if you're tough or not. Question on your outline asks this. In what areas have you been intimidated or bullied by the enemy? In what areas have you been intimidated or bullied by the enemy? Because he's going to do that to you. And if you don't recognize it, what happens when people are bullied? That's why, I said this last week, I hate bullying because I was bullied as a kid. And I hate that. I hate people being bullied. I know what it does. And I hate the people of God being bullied. See, the enemy is just a big windbag. He's a blowhard. I've said this many, many times. Many, many times. And maybe sometime we'll talk about it on a Wednesday night. The greatest threat to you and I is not the devil. The greatest threat to you and I is not the devil. You should not be intimidated by the devil. He has already been defeated. Hello. He has already been defeated. You should not be intimidated by him. This story in the book of Esther is about don't be intimidated by the enemy. He's a windbag. And he's going to make all of these threats against you. But what? We read in Ephesians, God already chose in advance everything that's going to happen in your life according to his purpose. That's good enough for me. So are you being intimidated or are you submitting to the threats of the enemy? Because had Mordecai done that and had Esther done that, then probably the Jews would have been annihilated. Could it be that some of the threats that are coming against you are not necessarily pointed at you as much as they're pointed at your loved ones? Maybe the threats that are coming at you and they're hitting you center mass are not so much to take you out as much as they are to take your family out. So what? You got to say, I'm making right choices and I am refusing to submit to the enemy. Number three is this. Timely truth, number three. You can grow stronger through adversity. You can grow stronger through adversity. We always think that the fight's going to take it out of us. Not in God's eyes. The fight didn't take it out of Mordecai and Esther. What it did when the fight came, it strengthened them. When the fight comes to the people of God, it should strengthen us. Why would we be weakened by the attacks of the enemy? It's what I love about this book. It screams out, you are made for more than this. You are made for being more than bullied. If you're being bullied spiritually, you need to put a stop to it. You need to put a stop to it and say, I am refusing this. Esther chapter 4, verses 10 through 12, the Bible says this. As this plan is unveiled and Mordecai and Esther strategize about what they're going to do, Esther goes to the king and she's going to do something about it. Esther told Hathach to go back and relay this message to Mordecai. All the king's officials and even the people in the provinces know that anyone who appears before the king in his inner court without being invited is doomed to die unless the king holds out his gold scepter. And the king has not called for me for some 30 days. Give this message to Mordecai. So here's what happens. Mordecai finds out about the plan to annihilate the Jews, and Mordecai says, Esther, you've got to go before the king. In those days, if you were not summoned to come to the king, you could be killed. You could be killed for even asking to come into the presence of the king. She had not been summoned in 30 days. He had lots of wives. He had lots of concubines. She had not been summoned in 30 days. So here she is, what? Laying it on the line again. Tough. Why? Tough not for just herself, but tough for her people. You know, sometimes we give up the fight because it gets tough on us. Sometimes we need to turn around and we need to look at the people closest to us because we're fighting for them. Sometimes it's the people next to us and behind us and around us and our loved ones that we're fighting for. That's what Esther was doing. So here she's saying, okay, I'll go to the king. Can you imagine that, how intimidating that must be? Think about what that would be like for you in the natural. If you knew that you could appear before somebody, and if they had a bad day, they woke up and had a bad hair day, they got ticked off, they were upset about something, and you walked in and they could say, off with your head, just like that, and you're done. But yet, here's what we see about Esther. Through this adversity, she's getting stronger and stronger, not weaker. Now she's the queen, and she is going to use the position that God has put her in to do what? Allow God's influence. Are you doing that? Are you using the position that God has put you in? You have been adopted and chosen into the family of God. Are you using that position to fulfill the purpose of God in your life? If you're not, you need to. You need to. You need to say, I am not going to be threatened by the enemy any longer. I'm going to make right choices, and I am going to grow stronger through this adversity. Are we living in a tough time in the United States of America? Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And here's what I know. Tough times don't last, but tough people do. Tough times come and tough times go, but we have to toughen up. We have to toughen up. Here's why. We've got to pave the way for the next generation. We've got to pave the way for the next generation. And I better do it right now. If I'm not doing it right now, God's going to hold me account for that. So I got to do it right now. I got to man up and I got to say, okay, I'm going to fight. When God says, surrender to me and roll over and put your fists up, that's what I've got to do. But I think sometimes what happens is we roll over and we lay there. Okay, God, I've surrendered. And God's saying, yeah, I know you surrendered. Now get up and put your fists up. Get tough in the spirit. Get tough in Jesus' name and go after. And that's what Esther was doing. She was going after the enemy Haman, after the enemies of God. You know, there's people, the enemy is out there wanting to steal, kill, and destroy everything that God has intended for people. And he's looking for tough people. Say, that's me. One, two, three.
That's me.
No, you're supposed to say, I'm it. One, two, three.
I'm it.
Yes, you are. You're growing stronger through adversity. Okay, number four. Y'all with me? Say, yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
Okay. I know you're with me, but I just want to make sure you're all awake and just, you know, I get the adrenaline going because I'm standing up here. You don't. Timely truth number four. Be confident in your convictions. Be confident in your convictions. Esther was. Mordecai was. Mordecai said, no, I'm not bowing down. Esther said, yeah, I'll go to the king. They had convictions and they were confident. Esther chapter 4, verses 15 through 17, the Bible says this. Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go and gather together all the Jews of Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, day or night. My maids and I will do the same. And then, though it is against the law, I will go in and see the king. If I must die, I must die. That's why I said at the very beginning, we've got to look at this investigatively. Sometimes we've got to die to the flesh. If I must die, I must die. So Mordecai went away and he did everything that Esther ordered him to do. I just see in the book of Esther, I just see this confidence in conviction. A confidence in a conviction. No, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. No, I'm not going to have sex with you. We are not married. Hello. I'm not going to do it. No, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to pull those shenanigans. No, I'm not going to be dishonest at work. No, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to do that. Those are convictions. You know what? The world needs that. The world needs to hear the convictions that we live by, not this wishy-washy, mansy-pansy, sissy Christianity. Hello. Seriously, and I'm not talking about being a bully. That is not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about being tough in Jesus' name so that we don't let others be intimidated by the lies of the enemy. If we could see what was going on in people's lives, it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking for me to see that. People are bullied by the enemy. I hate that. I hate that. So, here's a question on your outline. What are the opportunities God is giving you to make an impact? What are they? You have opportunities right before you. God has put you, we know the famous verse, for such a time as this, Esther. And God has put you where he's put you for a reason and for a purpose. So what are the opportunities that God's giving you right now to make an impact? Number five. Timely truth number five is this. God accomplishes his will through your obedience. God accomplishes his will through your obedience. Did he need Esther? No. Did he need Mordecai? No. Could he wipe out Haman and annihilate Haman? Of course he could. Haman got hung on his own gallows. He got impaled and hung on his own gallows. God took care of it. But the amazing thing, and that's why it's so important to read the word investigatively, the amazing thing is God always accomplishes his will through people. He always does it that way. And it's never changed. It didn't change in the word, and it hasn't changed today. He's accomplishing his will through my obedience and through your obedience. Esther chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. Let me close with this. On that same day, so when you read it on your own, you'll find that Haman's plot to destroy the Jews was revealed. And the king was so enraged that he had Haman impaled and then hung on these gallows. So following along a little bit further, Esther chapter 8, on that same day, King Xerxes gave the property of Haman, the enemy of the Jews, to Queen Esther. Look how God turned this whole thing around. Haman, who had the highest authority in the Persian kingdom other than King Xerxes, is stripped of his authority, stripped of his power, killed, and then everything that he had is given to Queen Esther. Only God can do that. Only God can do such amazing things. And it's true in our lives today. Only God can do it. He gave all the property of Haman, the enemy of the Jews, to Queen Esther. Then Mordecai was brought before the king, for Esther had told the king how they were related. The king took off his signet ring, which he had taken back from Haman, and he gave it to Mordecai. And Esther appointed Mordecai to be in charge of Haman's property. Then Esther went again before the king, falling down at her feet and begging him with tears to stop the evil plot devised by Haman the Agite against the Jews. Again, the king held out the gold scepter for Esther. So he rose and he stood, and she stood before him. Esther said, "If it please the king, and if I have found favor with him, and if he thinks it is right, and if I am pleasing to him, let there be a decree that reverses the orders of Haman the Agite, who ordered that the Jews throughout all the king's provinces should be destroyed. For how can I endure to see my people and my family slaughtered and destroyed?" And God stopped it. God stopped it through Haman's deception was revealed. God stopped it, and he stopped the plan, and he was able to stop the plan because Esther and Mordecai cooperated with God. That's tough. Those are tough people. And at the end of the day and at the end of our lives, really what it comes down to is it comes down to being tough in the eyes of God. Because this is a real fight we're in. It's a real battle that we're in. We live it out day in, day out, and we see things in the natural, but the battle is really being fought in the spirit. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and rulers in high places. So what the enemy meant for evil, God was able to turn around for the good. So Chris, you still here? I'm going to have Chris come back up here. And here's how I want to close the service tonight. I hope he's still here, because if I try to get up there and play that guitar, it's going to go south real fast. 1, 2, 3. Let's try that one more time. 1, 2, 3.
I'm it.
Okay, let's stand up.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road. We'll be right back.